Today on Maine Calling, guided outdoor experiences. Are you itching for a new outdoor adventure, especially on a beautiful day like this one? What's your strategy? Leafing through a guidebook? Searching the internet for ideas? Inviting a friend to try something unfamiliar with you? Well, increasingly, people are turning to guided adventures. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn about this growing part of Maine's outdoor economy and we'll share some ideas. Registered Maine guides have long been part of the scene for activities including fishing, hunting, and hiking. Now, Maine guides might take you paddleboarding or sea kayaking. Other experiences don't involve a Maine guide and might be considered lower exertion, like stargazing or a puffin tour. What fantastic experience would you like to share? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping Northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Summertime in Maine is all about getting outdoors, and there are infinite ways to do so. For a more focused experience, guided trips and tours are a popular way to enjoy outdoor activities, from paddling to bird watching. We're going to learn about some of the many options to try and how guided outdoor experiences contribute to Maine's tourism and economy. Here with me to talk about that, Carol Ann Ouellette, who is Director of the Maine Office of Tourism, and Jeff McCabe, Director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation. Share your comments and questions. Have you gone on a guided tour? Are you looking for ideas? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome back to both of you, and thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful day, joining us from an indoors place, ironically. I want to start by telling you one of the reasons we wanted to discuss this on Maine Calling is we saw the most recent report about the outdoors economy, Jeff. And one of the things that stood out to me is how there has been a real growth in people going on guided tours, how that is a growth area for this. And, you know, Maine registered guides have been around and been a big part of who we are for more than 100 years. Is this what we're seeing? Are we seeing more and more people hiring registered guides? Are we seeing growth in sort of new, different ways to go on a guided adventure?
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer, for having me on. It's great to be on the show and have a conversation around this. I think that, you know, folks are participating in traditional activities. We're also seeing a lot of activities being done, taking folks out for a half day experience or part of a day experience. At the same time, you alluded to the fact that there is trending activities that are becoming popular. You know, folks are trying these new experiences, which I think we'll get a little bit more into today. Things that they, you know, hear about, read about, you know, see in a magazine or see on social media, whether it's gravel cycling or, you know, pack rafting, things like that. You know, those are great opportunities for guided experiences. And then also seeing, you know, a lot of interest in wildlife watching, which includes bird watching as something that folks are seeking a guided experience to do.
It's interesting you say things people are seeing on social media. Do you think that that's the big reason for this shift and this growth is that people are seeing things that they may not have thought of before on their Instagram or TikTok feed?
Well, I think that, you know, folks do see things on social media and it's a driving force why they're looking and seeking experiences. You know, folks are influenced by those social media influencers who are participating in activities. So I would say it definitely helps. And, you know, Carol Ann might have a similar thought or additional information on that. But I think that's, you know, a very popular reason why people are doing activities.
Yeah, and Caroline, I want to ask you, you direct the whole Office of Tourism. Where does sort of the outdoor adventure component fit into the overall vision, the overall plan for the growth in Maine's future?
Yeah, so outdoor recreation plays a huge role in what we do here. But certainly, when we launched the Forged by Nature brand last year, that really was based on the fact that our landscape inspires us and who we are as a people, what we craft, what we make, how we work, but also how tied we are to the landscape, water and land, I guess landscape broadly. So outdoor recreation certainly is one of the four pillars that are the basis for our marketing program. The others include artful culture, feast of the earth, and then small town, or actually it's a place to pause. So small towns sort of play into all of that. But thinking about the trends too, Jennifer, to that earlier question, you know, we're seeing so much more activity on solo trips, people doing trips seeking new skills. Also just walking tours have come back into fashion, just being out there in nature as part of a wellness piece. You know, it's part of the broader adventure travel piece overall. So I think some of those things certainly have played into and time. You know, it's nice to know that you've got an expert with you in the field so that you are actually getting to the places and the things that you want to see and learning about them more deeply. So those are all trends we're seeing that I think have helped with the sort of boost in the guided experience piece.
It's so interesting, Caroline. I'm going to talk about some of the specific things you guys have already mentioned. Caroline, you said walking tours. I know someone who loves to go to the United Kingdom and do walking tours. I understand this is a really big thing in Europe, but this is becoming a thing in Maine to go on a walking tour. Tell me about some of the walking tours you've heard about.
Yeah, so I think my trending analysis was more general, kind of across the country, but even as simple as some of the things that a lot of the land trusts offer, I think about Maine Audubon. Yes, it's birding, but it's also really just getting out in nature and taking time, you know, to be outside. The walking tours, I mean, you could think about even sort of the huts and trails idea, particularly Maine huts and trails. It's not extensive mountain climbing. It really is just that kind of walk from hut to hut. So there are different ways to consider a walking tour. Sometimes it's in a downtown, you know, sometimes it's just tied with sort of a cultural / history component. So it's being outdoors and spending time just walking. More than anything, that combination of wellness, being outside, and learning kind of as a package in that tour.
All right, Jeff, earlier you mentioned gravel cycling and pack rafting. Let's take those one at a time. What kind of guided tours are we talking about? And where is gravel cycling? How is that different than mountain biking?
Yeah, well, thank you for the question. It's something that Carol Ann has been working on for a number of years. It is a trending activity. Gravel cycling is taking place on the non sort of single track trails, but, you know, occurring on gravel roads, both private and public roads where gravel cycling is allowed. And then there are folks that are combining that with pack rafting. So people are actually bike packing, bringing the raft with them, traversing waterways such as rivers or lakes as a way to experience sort of, getting to different sections of a landscape. And gravel cycling occurs in places like the Mid-Coast, outside of Greenville. You know, we're seeing it in Western Maine. And then there's also opportunities that exist in one-day events for gravel cycling. But, seeing a convergence of the two activities is pretty exciting. We're also seeing pack rafting trips that are occurring on lakes and rivers around the state as well as an opportunity to experience, remote places. Some of that is also occurring both on walking and hiking excursions where pack rafting is part of that as well. So,
and when you say pack rafting, what you mean is something different than the whitewater rafting you might do. You might go up to Jackman or the Forks for a day, and you're talking about something where you're going to a certain distance, camping overnight, and then continue on the next day?
Yeah, that could be the case. You know, some of this is day travel, some of this is overnight travel. These are very durable, lightweight rafts for a single individual. And I
Oh.
imagine people are Googling away right now, trying to take a look at these. But, you know, they roll up rather small, they inflate rather easily. Some of them actually have storage for gear. So, you know, as we talk about trending activities, you know, that's just one that sort of pops in my mind. You know, they can be used on whitewater as well. So, you know,
I see. And
definitely.
are these in their guided trips? There are people who will show you where to go, where to put in, where to take out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's actually, I know of several folks that are actually providing and guiding pack rafting trips. I also know some folks that are using pack rafts to get into remote ponds and streams, you know, for fly fishing, you know, as a way to get in and just as a way to have another watercraft that's both easy to store and easy to transport.
All right. Carolyn, is there a place people can go if they want to find out about guided adventures that they may not know much about, like pack rafting?
There is. I mean, of course, good plug for me for Visit Maine. There is a whole section on guided trips, inside things to do on visitmaine.com. But it's really helpful to go directly to some of the guiding organizations' websites as well, because generally they're searchable by type of activity. So Maine Professional Guides Association and then the Maine Wilderness Guides Organization, both of those, you can go in and find out what each of their members offer as far as types of trips. So that's a great start as well. But yeah, we've got multiple sections on Visit Maine that talk about different types of guided adventures as well.
All right. Well, Jeff, I started by saying that I noticed that this was a growing sector of Maine's outdoor economy, and that this is part of an annual report that you are now producing, not you personally, but that the state is and the organizations involved in Maine's outdoor economy are researching and producing every year. Why is it important to understand this, to understand how people are accessing the outdoors? Where are we heading in Maine, or where are you hoping that we head?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's really important for us to assess, and the information that you're talking about is information that we are releasing that comes from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. So it is data, you know, that we're seeing based on sort of the spends in these activities. We also get data from key partners in regards to participation data. Carol Ann and the folks in the Office of Tourism, you know, get a lot of data that comes through that office and from partners as far as what people are seeking for experiences. So I think for us, you know, really trying to meet sort of the interests and the needs of both citizens here in the state of Maine, as well as visitors, and to just see, you know, where opportunities exist. I think that we have seen, you know, a continued level of involvement in outdoor activities. You know, we saw a real peak during the pandemic. You know, that peak is has continued where folks are still getting outside. Maybe it's not the same number of days that they're getting outside, but they're still seeking these experiences. Carol Ann alluded a little bit to the fact that people are looking for experiences, these learning opportunities, these how-to experiences. So we're also seeing Maine guides step up and provide those opportunities, you know, to show people what it's like to get out and go for a turkey hunt and take them out for kind of a how-to activity or a guided hunt. You know, we're seeing this in places like, you know, folks offering a canoe poling workshop and people experiencing that for half day. We're also seeing, you know, folks that are shortening trips too, to provide, you know, a single overnight. Or when I think of the folks that in the sea kayaking industry, you know, up the entire coast, there's a number of folks that are providing opportunities for sea kayaking, which are, you know, half day, full day experiences, or the opportunity for overnight. So, you know, we also see it as an opportunity for, you know, skill building and job training. So we are working with a number of the career and technical education centers to make sure that their programs around outdoor education and outdoor leadership, you know, are strong and that they're training the guides of the future. So, you know, as we talk about the different guiding organizations here in the state of Maine, you know, they seem very committed to making sure that, you know, young people are being trained. You know, to lead these opportunities. Another space I think that's really important, working with you know, Maine guides and others, is the opportunity that they have an understanding of that land base. And so when we think about the state of Maine being 92% privately owned, it's important that there's some level of knowledge, recognition, and appreciation for access to the private land. And I think, you know, that comes very well from, you know, having a relationship with a guide.
All right. And Carol, let me ask you a little bit of a broader question, which is, here we are, it's the day after Memorial Day, which is traditionally the start of Maine's tourism season. At the same time, the price of gas is really, really high. So far, what are we seeing? Are bookings stable, up, down? What are you hearing, not just from inns, but also from folks that do have things like, you know, whale watching adventures, puffin adventures, the kinds of things that people book ahead of time?
To be honest, Jennifer, I haven't spent a lot of time talking to individual industry folks as yet. But all the signs right now, as we look at sentiment studies broadly across the US, are that people are still prioritizing their vacation time and their time outdoors. So, you know, hate to say fingers crossed, but certainly we're being much more strategic than that in our marketing initiatives. But right now, the most recent sentiment study that was released by Longwood shows that people are actually figuring out how to spend differently when they're home in order to be able to do the vacation that they had planned. And there have been shifts a little bit, but again, it's a little early to tell right now. That I think the only group I spoke with recently were campground owners, and they were seeing pretty steady bookings from what I heard back in April. So that was positive too.
Great. We're going to go to Carol, who is the owner of Coast Encounters. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay? I'm actually in my car.
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I'm the owner-operator of Coast Encounters, and I take folks out to the Rocky Shore to go tide pooling. And today, I'm actually on my way to my first tide pooling tour in Kennebunk.
In Kennebunk. So do you go to different towns based on where people are staying?
No, I generally stay in the Kennebunk area, Wells, Ogunquit. That's my go-to place. However, I could travel a little bit up to the Portland area if need be. I just know the tide pools down here are really, really great, so I stick to what I know.
So, and how do people find you, Carol? Do you find that people, most of your clients are from another state and they're Googling tide pooling in Maine, or are you being recommended by hotel owners? You know, how do people find out about Coast Encounters?
Well, a little of each, but I'd say over 50% find me just by Googling things to do in Maine, or if they use the word, you know, tide pooling as a keyword, definitely I come up. But yeah, they pretty much do Google searches. I do have the old fashioned rack cards that I put in hotels and ice cream shops and whatnot, but usually it's an online find.
Yeah, and let me ask you, how long have you done this, and have you seen an upsurge lately in interest?
Yeah, I've been doing it 28 years, so I'm really excited to be on almost to my 30th. And what was the other question? Sorry.
Well, have you seen more and more people interested in doing a guided adventure like yours than before?
Absolutely. Certainly, COVID was my biggest year, because people were coming from all over and doing educational things in Maine and bringing their kids. So that was crazy, crazy busy. But yeah, definitely, I have had a steady flow of customers for many, many years, and I can't say I'm having a huge increase at this point, but I think people are just really excited to do it when they come here.
And let me ask you this, Carol, because I think a lot of people can understand why someone might hire a guide to take them rock climbing or sea kayaking, something that has a technical skill, but it doesn't take technical skill to go tide pooling. Tell me what someone might gain from hiring a guide to go tide pooling that they won't get on their own.
Well, I can basically give you an example. Like Kennebunk Middle Beach, which is where I'm headed, has a sidewalk, and there's people walking on that sidewalk every minute of the day when it's a nice day like today. And they're out there saying, look at those people out there. What the heck are they finding? There's nothing out there but seaweed and rocks and like, what are they finding? So that's where I come in. I basically can point out all kinds of algae and animals, invertebrates that live between the tides. It's one of the most diverse ecosystems on the planet, believe it or not. And it's really fun to find things. Plus, it's really hard to find them because they're all so well camouflaged.
Well, Carol, I so appreciate you calling in today, and have fun on your first adventure of the season. Carol calling in from Coast Encounters, a tide pooling guide service. We're going to take a quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we're talking about outdoor adventures with a guide, whether a registered Maine guide or a different kind of guide. With me for the hour, Jeff McCabe, Director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, and Carol Ann Ouellette, Director of the Maine Office of Tourism. We invite you to join the conversation. Let us know about something you've done or heard about that you'd like to share with others. Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Calling us now is Liz Peacock, who is co-executive director of Maine Adaptive. Thanks so much for calling in, Liz.
Excited to talk about this.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm so happy you're calling, because when we think of guided tours, often we think of the registered Maine guide, which is wonderful, taking us on a wilderness adventure to someplace that's really hard to get to. But you're working with a lot of people where the phrase really hard to get to is not the best phrase. What kind of adventures are you doing? Who are you leading? And tell us why this is so important and why this is growing, a growing sector.
Yeah, so we offer mainly day programs and short kind of one-on-one activities for anybody who is aged 4 and over who has a disability. And we are generally known for our ski programs. So in the winter, we operate out of Sunday River, Sugarloaf, Pleasant Mountain, and a few other locations and do basically like a ski school. But then in the summer, we shift our model a bit, and we try to bring our programming to different areas in the state. And that will look like paddling at Rang Pond State Park, golf at Toddybrook in Yarmouth, a cycle program that runs out of Gambo Fields in Windham, and different hikes and mountain biking programs kind of around the state, so that we can kind of take away the transportation challenges that many people with disabilities face. And then additionally, this year we are offering once a month at our home base in Newry, so near Sunday River, we are offering a Saturday day program that could be a mountain bike ride or a paddle trip and a hike, with the opportunity to spend the night Friday night ahead of time and either set up a tent and camp or stay in a bunk cabin that has access to accessible facilities to kind of broaden that outdoor experience, because it's really it can be challenging to find ways to get even deeper outside than just on a paved bike path, which a lot of people think of. But we want to open that up to show all the different ways that people can get active in Maine, because Maine just has so much to offer.
And Liz, what would be your advice if someone's listening to this program now and has a loved one with a disability and wants advice on how to get outdoors and how to embrace adventure in Maine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our programming is free for any of the participants. We have the specialized equipment that can often be another barrier, just the correct type of cycles that are needed or sports chairs. And so our website, maineadaptive.org, is a great place to start, both if you are looking to participate or if you have some experience in any of the sports that we do and you'd like to volunteer. We use almost 300 volunteers to lead our programs. They get all the training ahead of time. But there are a variety of other adaptive programs in the state that are running all kinds of different programs. And so I think if you call us, we're happy to connect people with things that we don't do. But there's a growing set of resources in the state of Maine, which is really exciting.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for calling in. Liz Peacock with Maine Adaptive. Jeff, this is a really important and growing part of Maine's tourism and economy, isn't it? And not just the economy, but just making Maine accessible to all people, making the outdoors accessible to all people. I know many land trusts are now building accessible trails, also a focus on other activities. What can you tell us about what's new or newish in Maine for people with disabilities? And when I say disabilities, we're talking about people who use wheelchairs. We're talking about people who are visually impaired. We're also talking about people who maybe don't move as well as they used to as they age.
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. And it's always great when I have an opportunity to interact with Liz. I both Carol Ann and I both get excited, you know, her and her team and her colleagues. I walk away learning something new each time. I think that, to the point that you just said, it's really about expanding access. And expanding access can mean many different things. So I think, you know, having folks listening and sort of figuring out the best ways to adapt trails, figuring out the best opportunities to make trails accessible, make them welcoming, for folks is something that's extremely important. I think the land trust community has really been leading in this space. And I think we get, questions all the time about where are the accessible trails and where are, places that people can get out. I think we are also thinking about it from a perspective, making sure that things not related to the trails, but adjacent to trails also are accessible for people. And then also trying to figure out ways to promote those trails once they're established. So, working with land managers, we've done a lot of work in recent years with the municipal parks and recs folks about just taking a look at their land base and making sure that that is more accessible. So from, playgrounds and sports fields, but also the adjacent trails as well. And I think one thing is, with Liz and other folks, just having them as a resource and being able to have very frank and open conversations. Also, the Maine Trails Program is a space where that funding is addressing accessibility. And I think, lots of folks are learning from that process. And then as we have more accessible outdoor recreation assets, using those as examples for folks is something that I think is going to be extremely helpful. And I think there's an opportunity for growth in this space and also, for inviting folks to come and experience what we do have as we have these successes.
Right, because it's about entire families and entire friend groups, making the adventures available to everyone in a group and not just some.
Yeah. To that point, this year at the tourism conference, there was a presentation around accessibility and speaking to, neurodivergent aspects of accessibility and just providing opportunities for folks who might be experiencing, being on the spectrum or having autism and what are the types of experiences that they might be looking for, their families might be looking for. So, that was a space where a number of folks offering programming attended, but then also folks that are land managers and, property owners were able to ask questions, which is really important.
Yeah, if I could just jump in, I can't think of a specific example right now, Jennifer, but I do know that registered Maine guides have also, but there are some and outfitters as well who have worked with different clients and guests with disabilities. I remember an example when I was a raft guide of working with several different folks on getting them on rafting trips. So there's certainly, I've talked to some people who've done that for fishing trips. It just depends upon the type of trip, but there are certainly guides within the Maine Professional Guides Organization and Maine Wilderness Guides or Maine Professional Guides Association and Maine Wilderness Guides organizations that do work specifically with different clients with disabilities.
We'll go to Molly, who's calling from Rangeley Lakes Heritage Trust. Hi, Molly. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Jennifer.
Well, I understand your guided tours often take place at night. Tell me about those.
Yes, hi. We have led some night sky tours in the Rangeley region. We have one coming up, not a night sky tour, but a blue moon nocturnal nature walk that we are doing. Actually, this coming Saturday, May 30th, and we will be gathering at one of our conservation area trails. It's our Mingo Springs Trail in Rangeley. It's about 5 minutes outside of downtown Rangeley here. So experiencing the forest and kind of the woods that in the evening, seeing what wildlife we can hear and spot. It should be fun.
And it sounds to me as though for the Rangeley Lakes Heritage Trust, but others as well, that finding guided adventures is the big new thing. Am I right?
Yeah, I think, we encourage our ethos is public access, so access to all forms of recreation, and we have a large network of public access trails in our region. So, yeah, finding ways to get more people to get out and explore those areas, and oftentimes people are more comfortable having someone that, is a registered Maine guide or understands kind of the landscape a bit more. So, we will be doing more of this throughout the summer. We have another a paddle trip that we're doing in July. Just trying to encourage people to get out and explore and enjoy the conservation areas that we have here.
What have you found to be especially popular?
Yeah, so over the winter, we did another evening event. We did a snowshoe by lantern. So I think that was really popular. I think just finding new ways to experience the outdoors, I think everyone's kind of looking for. We're also connected with our mobile devices and our emails and notifications every day, that I think if there's a new way to kind of reset and explore, people are looking for that. So that was popular. In the Rangeley area, we have lots of beautiful lakes and ponds. So I think anything water related tends to be really popular too.
Well, Molly, thanks so much for calling in. Molly calling in from Rangeley Lakes Heritage Trust. Let's see, we will go to Archie, who's calling from Union. Hi, Archie, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer, thanks for doing this show. I am calling in about my husband, who has Maine Outdoors guide service, and my son, who has Equinox guiding service, rock climbing and ice climbing. And it's interesting to hear the connections with other areas. I love Dunn's business is primarily fishing, saltwater, and freshwater right now. And he is celebrating his 40th year in business with Maine Outdoors. And Noah is 10 years into it. And what I've admired about both of them, other than that I'm related to them, is that they have been flexible over the years and have shifted depending on what the needs are and what's happening in our culture and our communities. Both of them guide people in state, but they also guide people that come here from away. And Don has shifted more to doing family fishing because he has noticed over the years that there are a lot of young parents who want their children to have the opportunity to learn how to fish, but they have not fished as children growing up, so they hire a guide when they come here. And he is on three generations of families now. And some days, Don guides them fishing in the morning and Noah guides them in the afternoon rock climbing. So it's fun to see what's happening with those connections. Both of them also are very aware of the next generation and work with the Mid-Coast School of Technology, Noah with the leadership program there, and Don working with the state vocational schools on their programming. Both of them are able to adapt their whatever they're doing that day to different ages and different abilities and limitations and successes. And it's really interesting. Recently, Don and I just got back from Newfoundland, and wherever we go now, he hires a guide. And the reason he does that is because he knows how critical it is to be able to go with an expert in that area, wherever it is we go. Mm. And it was fascinating to have that chance to go up to Newfoundland and to stay at a lodge and to see what was happening up there with the freshwater fishing.
Archie, while you were talking and so admiringly of your son, he called in. So Noah, I understand you are on the line as well.
Yeah, I am.
Did you know your mom was doing this?
she usually calls in. I didn't know she was going to, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we are talking about, and thank you for calling in, and we were talking about guided adventures in Maine. And your mom was talking about how over the last 10 years when you've had your service, you've seen some changes and adapted. What are some of those ways that you've changed?
Yeah, I would say the clientele has definitely changed. And when I first started, I've gotten through different like phases of people wanting to just learn how to rock climb and learn different aspects of rock climbing, to just people that want to have the experience of getting on the rock and experiencing what it's like to climb. And anything from like full days to half days to folks more last minute this year than it ever has been for me. During COVID, it was like I was booking out the whole month of July kind of thing. So it's an interesting world to live in. And you're just kind of like waiting for people to book kind of thing, which is different than I've experienced before. But
Making decisions more at the last minute now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm kind of experiencing this year, which is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that must be stressful. But hey, well, thanks so much for calling in, both of you, Archie and her son Noah, and Noah's service is Equinox Guiding Service. Good luck this summer. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Getting outside is what summer in Maine is all about. Today we're hearing about the wide range of guided experiences to try, from kayaking to stargazing. My guests, Carol Ann Ouellette with the Maine Office of Tourism and Jeff McCabe with the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation. Share your comments and questions. Have you learned anything new by going on a guided outdoor trip? Are you looking to go on a group experience, or do you have something to recommend to others? Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram, or call us at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Michael, who's calling from York. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi. Am I okay? Am I on the air?
You are.
Okay. The reason is I'm driving in my car. I can stop, but I'm taking well-known back roads and I'm on my hands-free device and I can hear the show, but my radio in the car is off.
Okay, well, yeah, Michael, tell us about,
I'm the chair of the York Park and Recs Board. I also volunteer with the York Land Trust and a 501c3 organization called FOMA, the Friends of Mount Agamenticus. And I was going to point out a couple of things. I just met a gentleman who's been coming to York for years, and when I told him we have a little mountain, you know, less than 20 minutes from the ocean, he said, what? So I said, Mount Agamenticus, the sort of highest point between the New Jersey Pine Barrens and the Camden Hills, has a many walking trails, and they also link with the water district trails. And there is an accessible trail, an ADA compliant trail, which just got some grant funding, and we did some fundraising for it so that it will be repaired after weather damage. And I like to call that it's the grandparents' children trail, not the, it's handicapped accessible and it's wheelchair appropriate and it has great views. That's one thing. And New York Park and Recreation Department offers guided tours of the York River in their kayak adventures and other kayak programs. And the Center for Active Living, which is what used to be called the Senior Center, has an outdoor activity component, and they bus seniors to York Land Trust lands, outdoor nature adventure programs, and things like that. So,
well, Michael, I'm so glad you called, because I think local parks and rec departments or community services, they're called in some towns, is something we haven't mentioned yet. And they do also provide guided adventures for people in their community, whether it's for everybody or focused on children or focused on seniors. So thank you so much for calling and bringing that up, because we hadn't talked about that yet. Let's see. I'm going to go next to Karen from Castine. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer and Carolyn and Jeff. It's great that you're doing a program about choosing a guide. This is awesome. I'm Karen with Castine Kayak Adventures, and we just got done doing our guide training class. I've been training sea kayak guides on the coast of Maine for about 27 years. And at Castine, we provide opportunities for people to go on daily tours. We do tours every day. And we also take people out every night for stargazing. And in our bioluminescent bay in Castine, our waters are very bioluminescent. And we also offer kids camps.
Wonderful. Karen, let me ask you if you've seen changes in who wants to go on your tours, what they're looking for.
You know, I think ever since COVID, more and more people recognized how amazing it is to get out. We've been busier than ever since then, I think. And I think more and more people really need that connection with nature. And people often, I would say the majority of things that we hear that it was a highlight of people's vacation, or people come to us because they want instruction to get out more. I think people are so involved with computers at their work that, you know, that sense of getting outside and having a sense of awe is so important. So I would say that more and more people come because their friends have come and referred them to it and told them how it made them feel. And, you know, and it's also a lifelong sport. You know, once you really learn how to kayak, you can go out every day. It's great exercise. The water's dripping off your paddle. It's very zen. So it's a great lifelong thing. Yeah. So I think.
Well, Karen, thanks so much for calling in. Jeff McCabe.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, and Karen, you know, thank you for calling in. Great to hear from you. My mother-in-law has been on one of Karen's trips and really enjoyed herself and talks about it. It was something that she was looking forward to. And it made me think about those folks here in the state, both residents and visitors who might be aging, and who by working with a guide are able to experience the outdoors, able to get the assistance they might need with equipment, and just makes it possible for them to get out. So we hadn't talked too much about that, and I just wanted to flag that as this being a great opportunity for aging folks getting outside and staying active and doing the things they love. You know, I was recently on a 7-day canoe trip, and one of the participants was saying, you know, that the reason they chose to go on a guided trip was because they were aging and just needed that assistance and didn't want to worry about, you know, cooking meals and bringing the gear along.
And that, Karen, that, yeah.
Go ahead, Carol Ann.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to thank Karen for calling. So thank you, Karen, for calling, and go ahead, Carol Ann.
Yeah, just picking up on that, you know, a great way to just do a quick test of whether or not you want to decide which guided trip you might want to do. L.L. Bean Outdoor Discovery School is a really nice opportunity for a very short kind of run on whether or not you think you want to go sea kayaking or fishing or paddling or whichever it might be. And the other thing, just thinking about paddling broadly and Jeff's trip, because I'm headed out on one of the Ways of the Wabanaki trip later this summer. You know, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that really the guiding certainly started ahead of the first registered Maine guide with the Wabanaki peoples. And there's some great trips out there as well. So, you know, I was fortunate to be able to do part of the Thoreau Wabanaki recreation trip that was now, oh my gosh, 10 plus years ago. So some fun things there as well.
An email here from Bill. I had never done any winter mountaineering until I went on a guided trip up Katahdin with Acadia Mountain Guides based in Bangor and Bar Harbor. The first trip hooked me. It began a series of life highlight experiences with them. The most memorable was being on the knife edge in February. Oh, my goodness. With my guide, Dick Chassy. A bluebird day, we could see the horizon in all directions. I'm still getting over that, the knife's edge in February. He's also done guided ice climbing with them. Try it. So anyway, thank you for that, Bill. And from Peter, I own Seacoast Tours in Freeport, Maine, a small family-run boat tour company offering hands-on experiences focused on Maine's working waterfront, aquaculture, lobstering, islands, and coastal ecology. Before starting Seacoast Tours, I spent 25 years working in marine science and water quality research on Casco Bay. Today, my goal is helping visitors and locals connect more deeply with Maine's coast through personal experiences that go beyond a traditional sightseeing tour. Guided experiences can create meaningful connections to place, support local economies, and help people better understand Maine's natural and working landscapes. Through Seacoast Tours, we give guests a chance to experience a quieter, less traveled side of coastal Maine that is connected to the people and industries that shape our coast. And Jeff, I think Peter brings up something important. I mean, obviously this is his family's business and this is how they make a living. But for many people, this is about much more than money, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is really about sharing sort of that, their own personal connection, sharing their own stories. You know, and you know, so many of these guides bring a lived history to these experiences that just is, you know, you can't get that elsewhere. You know, even some of the folks that are doing the tours, I think of in downtown Portland on, you know, history and heritage and you know, they bring this experience and this passion that, you know, is just so fantastic. And that personal interaction in a day of technology is something I think we all need to thrive more, you know, to have more of that in our lives.
We'll go to Andrea calling from Belfast. Hi, Andrea. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks so much for doing this show. It's so wonderful to hear about the breadth of guiding around the state. It's just a wonderful show. We're here in Belfast, and my husband Patrick and I are taking on a guide service that was started in the 80s by Ray and Nancy Rizzi called Earthways Guide Service. And my husband, Patrick Dole, is a boat builder. And, excuse me, sorry, I'm getting a phone call. Go to voicemail. So it was a natural fit because we build all our own wood canvas canoes and all our gear that we bring on our trips. It's a way to really connect with the natural world, with the natural materials and some of the traditional ways that that these trips have been led, you know, throughout time here in Maine.
Well, Andrea, just like we were just talking about, it sounds like this means more to you than just a way to make a living.
It sure does. For Patrick, it's a great way to get out on the water with our sons and train up our one of our sons to be a junior Maine guide with him and share his love for the natural world and for the craftsmanship of building the beautiful canoes and pack baskets and we also do winter trips with the traditional canvas wall tents and bring people out into the world to really slow down and appreciate nature, you know, at a pace that, you know, I've heard so many people talk about disconnecting from the phones and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We go up to the Allagash and
wow. And Andrea, I need to cut you off because we're out of time, but remind me the name of the service.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Earthways Guide Service, and you can All right. find us on the web.
Thank you so much for calling in. And thank you to both of our guests for the hour, Jeff McCabe, the director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, and Carol Ann Ouellette, the director of the Maine Office of Tourism. Our sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss how midlife can bring changes to your sense of identity. This is part of our series, Life Passages. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.